Do you love great podcasts? Do you love great Australian podcasts? Of course you do. Australians make incredible podcasts. And if you want to stay up to date with the best Australian shows, then check out Oz Podcasts. Look for us on social media and find your new favourite show from the Australian podcast directory on ozpodcast.com.au. That's OZPODCASTS, ozpodcast.com.au. Check it out.
If you like new stuff before anybody else, if you like to keep your finger on the pulse, if you like the future and want to be in it, then keep on listening because we'll start in a minute. Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Because technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Ha! Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech Webcast. Ha! Ha! Tech Webcast. Let's go!
Welcome to episode 327 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 21st of March 2015. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at midday Melbourne time. Please rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast. Your hosts today are Brad, Jody, Jen, Steve, Jacob, and myself, Andrew. And our special guest today is from the sunny state in Queensland, show favourite Paul Carey, here to talk about the new Apple Watch and upcoming Tech Webcast app. How are you doing today, Brad?
I am going well, Andrew, and yourself, mate. How are you?
Yeah, doing very well. It's a beautiful day down here in Melbourne, isn't it?
It is indeed.
Hoping to get out there and take Miles and Christy. We're going to go for a walk, I think, or she might be. I think I might be on the show. But yeah, you know, get outside today. It's absolutely beautiful. So get off the podcast, people, and go outside after the podcast.
Yeah, after the podcast. Yeah. Exactly. Listen to it. Actually, listen to it while you're walking.
There you go, Brad. You've got that one sorted, haven't you? Put that on your headphones and listen to it.
That's it, mate. How's your week been, Andrew?
Yeah, pretty good, mate. I went to the Grand Prix last week, which is a whole lot of fun. And, you know, this week just been, working away on a few things. But yeah, it's been good.
Good stuff. Just a quick shout out to Foxtel. Great coverage by them too, by the way, putting that on.
Yeah, it really was.
On Fox Sports.
I won't spend much time on it, but I'm actually really happy Foxtel have got the Formula One. Channel 10 were doing a really poor job with it, I think, and they did a great job of the coverage.
Mm-hmm. What's your view on the ad, the split screen with the ad and the race?
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. I mean, advertising is 90% branding anyway, so you can do branding in the bottom corner while people are still watching their content.
Okay, all right. And we also got some IQ3 news coming up very shortly, so stay, hang around with that, Andrew, and I need to have a chat about that. We can't wait. Jody, welcome.
Hey, hi, Brad. How are you?
I'm good. How's your week been?
Oh, it's been super, and it's kind of funny because today's the first day of spring,
and
as luck would have it, we have a major snowfall. We never have snow, around this time of year, but yeah, we got about 6 inches on the ground. Driving was treacherous, but nonetheless, Jewel did great in her dog show today, and she won Best of Breed Owner Handler.
Yeah, so, good stuff.
A good week. Yep.
Good on you. Can you make a snowman at all, Jody, outside?
We could, yeah. It's kind of, it's kind of funny because tomorrow we're supposed to have weather that's 57 degrees.
Wow.
So, for us, your zero is our 32. So if you can imagine, it's probably about zero Celsius right now.
Jeez.
And tomorrow, I'm trying to do quick math. 57 would probably be, I'm going to say, like in the 30s for you guys. So,
gee, that is
crazy,
cold.
Right?
Yeah, it is very crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Jennifer, welcome. How are you?
Hi, I'm well. How are you, Brad?
I'm good. And how's your week been?
My week has been pretty decent. It has flown by. I can't believe it's already Friday night here in the States. And I've been playing with a few new toys. I got my hands on the LG G Flex 2 Android device. I know you're not an Android fan, but this is a really beautiful device.
I'm sure it is.
And yeah, it is. It's gorgeous. And
I'm
then the Samsung Galaxy Note Edge as well. And then the Nexus 6, I've been playing with that also. So
good
I've been
stuff.
Playing with a lot of fun stuff lately. Yeah.
All right, good stuff. Yeah, I don't mind Android. Android's okay, but Android's not for me personally, but I'm more of an Apple person.
Yeah, Apple's great too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Each to their own, really. Jacob, yeah. How's your week been, mate? I know your iPad died.
It was pretty good. And I also got to watch the race.
Oh, you did too? You did too, that's yeah, right, yeah.
NBC supplied it.
Nice one. How do you like it?
It was pretty good. I got the same thing as what you guys got. Yeah. Split screen ads and stuff like that.
Mm. So it's not just Fox that was doing it. So everyone else is doing it.
Yeah, so
you know.
It was okay, but for me, I would like the ads to show up afterwards, because what do you think of that?
Well, I personally think they shouldn't show any ads at all on a sporting event, but especially on a F1 race, but you know.
I think it's hard though when you've got a 2-hour race. I mean, it's not like football where there's a half hour, quarter, and you can bolt ads. If you've got a 2-hour race, that's a long amount of time when you're buying a license for a sport to not be able to do anything.
Mm. Yeah, I suppose. Well, anyway, Fox will explain to it anyway on how it all worked, and I sort of understand, and you know, a lot of people weren't happy about it, but anyway, you get that. So Jacob, yeah, so your iPad died during the week. What happened, mate?
It just fried itself, basically.
Okay. So the cables must have been the cable, or what?
I'm getting new cables.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Steve.
What did you say? I was saying it was the cable frayed.
Well, yes. Have you seen his cables? It's a mess.
Oh, I could do it too.
They're shredded.
Yeah, shredded. They're all shredded and stuff. I don't know how they break so easy. Okay.
I always kept them on my desk.
Don't know. All right, Steve, welcome. How are you, mate?
Hey, how you doing?
How's your week been?
Pretty good. Let me see what's been going on. I'm now working for a photography place.
Oh, nice.
Hopefully I'm going to be covering different events on Saturdays.
Good stuff, mate. Well done. Who else have been having me ask? Paul, welcome, mate. How are you?
Hey, Brad. How you going?
Good, mate. How's your week been?
It's been pretty epic. as per the last few months, so it's been pretty out there for me, at least.
Okay.
Also, Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, you too, mate. You too. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it has, actually.
So Netflix is coming on Tuesday, Paul. What's your opinion on that, mate? What's your content? What's your view on that and the content and stuff?
Well, they haven't really given anyone a clue on the content except for the restrictions on the TV shows, because I reckon they've still got the licensing that they need to bid on. But one thing that I think just surfaced, I think, a few days ago was something about Jerry Harvey, which is the guy that owns Harvey Norman and all that sort of stuff, was talking about how Netflix could avoid, is avoiding GST.
I read that, yeah. I'd share that on Facebook, yeah.
It's literally because they're not even in Australia, so technically they could do that because they're essentially just broadcasting from the US, so they should they shouldn't need to pay Australian tax, but anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm happy that they're coming to Australia. It's about time they're here and stuff, and it's good.
Oh, yeah, it'd be interesting the amount of movies they have on the first launch.
Mm-hmm.
To see if they actually do come up with a decent library as well.
Yeah, yeah. They added Sons of Anarchy Season 7 to the US iTunes, but not in Australia yet, which is a bit weird.
Yeah, usually it takes a month or two before they transfer it over.
All right, Andrew, you looking forward to Netflix on Tuesday, mate?
Yeah, I am. We'll probably talk more about it in the show. I guess the main thing is really around content. You know, that's what it all comes down to. And I've got a few ideas about that, which we'll probably run through after the news.
All right, let's get into the news then, and then we'll come back and have a chat about that.
Sit down!
Wrong one. Oops.
And welcome to today's news on Tech Webcast. Our first story today comes from our favorite blog, Brad's blog, and it has to do with Foxtel. And apparently Foxtel announced iQ3 launch date. It's a next generation set top box to arrive Monday, March 23rd. So, Brad, do you have anything you want to share with us about this interesting article?
Well, as Andrew knows, I've been waiting for this for a long time, and about time they announced the date and it's coming out.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to have some cool features.
Yeah, very cool features. Yes.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about...
Well, I actually haven't used none of them yet, so I can't really report on it yet as yet. But the features look great.
I believe you're a VIP, Brad, so you'll be getting a version of this box pretty soon.
Yeah, let's not go into that. Not supposed to say that.
Well, I think it's major cool. But according to your article, it looks like they're going to have something called Start Over,
yes,
which allows you to go back to the beginning of a show.
That's correct. Yes, that's cool.
Cool. And then Look Back?
Yep, Look Back. You can actually download the show. If you missed it, you can just re-download it and watch it again.
Sweet. And Intelligent Discovery?
That's some of the shows you've been watching. They may suggest other shows.
Very cool. And Wi-Fi connectivity?
You can connect your Foxtel Hub to it with using Wi-Fi, which is good.
Very sweet. And then a Bluetooth remote?
The remote is Bluetooth.
Very cool.
Same as what Jacob's got. He's got a TiVo and he's got a remote that's Bluetooth, right, Jacob?
It's not Bluetooth.
Isn't it? I thought it was.
It's IR.
Oh, okay.
Well, regardless, it sounds major cool.
It does. It's very cool. Very cool. I can't wait to get it. Andrew, what's your view on it?
Yeah, look, I think it's going to be great. It's a really big product, obviously, for Foxtel, and I think you can record 5 or 10 shows at the same time. So
I know you can actually record 3 shows and watch a 4th one.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Brad. Yeah. I think it's a great product, and you know the market in Australia for content streaming, you know, Foxtel, all of that is just absolutely exploding. I think 2015 is going to be a year that, you know, remember, there's probably a lot of executives really hard at work at the moment, you know, trying to get into people's, you know, I guess, lounge rooms. So
yeah, exactly.
It's a great product. They've been working on it for a very long time. So
and
really
as you said, Andrew, yes, I did get an email from Foxtel and I was chosen to be a VIP, so I am getting one.
That's why we keep you on the show, Brad.
Exactly. And and I'll be catching up with you on Thursday to do a video and stuff and an unboxing for it.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
So look out for that and other things from it as well. So it should be good.
Very cool. And, you know, we've got other stories that have to do with video about Netflix. Jen, do you have that story?
Yes, I do. So this is coming from TheVerge.com, the story, and it's about Netflix and viewing it on the desktop. So Netflix looks pretty much the same, whether you're viewing it on a phone, tablet, or on the web. And in the world of responsive design, that sounds like a great idea, but in practice, desktop users have drawn the short straw. They need to sit there with their mouse hovering over an arrow to scroll through the list of movies. And if there were a digital manifestation of waiting in line at the DMV, this would be it. But to reiterate the point, the thing is that works so well is when you use your finger on the tablet, say, it will show you the content, but it's challenging to do that with a mouse. So there is a developer named Renan Kakarek, and he's fixed this first world problem with what he calls God mode. God mode is actually a bookmarklet for your browser, and it blows up all the menus into one simple scrollable list. Netflix will no longer look so nice and pretty, but it will actually end up being a lot more usable. The handy tool will undoubtedly be disabled by Netflix at some point, but for now, it is a must-have. So take a look for that bookmarklet. Once again, it's called God Mode by Renan, R-E-N-A-N, Kakarek. I think that's how I pronounce his last name, C-A-K-I-R-E-R-K. And over to you, Jody.
Okay. Well, this story is a little bit confusing. It has to do with an app called Launcher. And apparently, Launcher was one of the first apps that took advantage of the widgets that are allowed in the Notification Center. And it was approved by Apple. It was available in the App Store, but that only lasted about a week. And Apple, I guess, decided that it was a misuse of the widget function. So they banned it, and they banned other apps that seemed to use this widget function. But then Launcher kept submitting different variations. And evidently, there is a version that is acceptable that is going to be in the App Store. It should be in the App Store now, actually. So I honestly don't see that there's a need for it, but evidently some people do. I mean, do any of you guys use this launcher app?
I haven't yet.
I haven't used it. I did see it, though. I haven't got it yet, but looks cool.
Okay. Well, it can be downloaded from the App Store for free, and then there's a pro version that's available for $3.99. So, I mean, basically what it does is it allows you to do things with one tap that ordinarily you'd have to go through a couple screens to get to. So it should be kind of interesting.
Yeah, it looks good. I mean, I'd like to give it a try and see how it works.
Yeah, at least they're not sending it to unknown addresses. Yeah. empty houses. I'm trying to segue into the next story. I don't know.
That's a good seg because actually, you know, Cisco is going to start shipping its equipment to empty houses to dodge the NSA. So, you know, the NSA is willingly to go frighteningly far for your secrets. And one hardware manufacturer is going to go a little bit further. That is Cisco. A Cisco executive just said that his company will ship its networking equipment to vacant addresses to avoid NSA interception. Quite a clever idea. The NSA was caught putting back doors in Cisco Electronics last year. And this week, Cisco's security chief, John Stewart, revealed that the dead drop plan to skirt the government snooping, admitting it's not foolproof. He says, quote, "We will ship to an address that has nothing to do with the customer. And then you have no idea who ultimately it's going to," he explained. And he also said, "There is always going to be an inherent risk." He's totally right. There are some photos that they have that show the NSA going through some boxes and some equipment, some Cisco networking equipment. So there's some proof that they are doing it. Of course, Cisco is also trying to figure out exactly who has NSA beacons already installed in their equipment, though it's hard for them to tell since they have no idea what the NSA's top secret technology is. The company's best bet really is to ask customers to pick up the equipment directly from the factory or ship it to an empty house as if it were some sort of drug deal. This is what surveillance in America has come to. And over to you, Jody.
Okay. Speaking of surveillance in America, you know, a lot of us have that used to have Windows or PC computers. Every time they would come out with a new version of Windows, you used to have to buy the new version. And it's interesting. Apple, philosophically, I guess, you know, at least recently, every time they upgrade the operating system, usually you can upgrade, you know, as long as your device is fairly current, you can upgrade your device. Well, Windows 10 is going to be coming out, and it's a free upgrade for all users worldwide. You think it's going to be for all users worldwide. Apparently, during the WinHack conference in China, Microsoft's operating system chief, Terry Myerson, he told everybody that they're going to be updating qualified PCs, genuine and non-genuine, to Windows 10. So what's funny?
Oh, sorry. I forgot to mute.
Okay. I thought you guys said something really funny. I said funny too. It's like, you really want Windows 10? Oi, let me tell you. But yeah, so apparently, you know, at first they weren't sure if it was only for China. Then they said, yeah, it's for worldwide. And they're going to be updating all computers, regardless of whether the original version of Windows was genuine or non-genuine, as in, you know, it's, you know, a fake copy. But the Windows 10 that will be loaded on the machine, if the original was genuine, will be considered genuine. So I'm not sure exactly what that means for people who have non-genuine versions of Windows that update it. I don't know if they're going to be not able to use their system. I'm not really sure. Yeah, I know. I mean, it could be a way for them to try to crack down on non-genuine Windows users. A few years back, I know Microsoft did a really strong effort to try to get rid of people's non-registered Windows systems. So I don't know. I mean, it's good news and bad news. Hopefully it's all good news, but for you non-genuine users, just be careful. And you certainly want to tell Skype about it.
Yeah, since Skype is owned by Microsoft. So Skype for Business is now going to be offering phone numbers to Office 365 users. And this will be available in a preview this summer. Earlier this week, Microsoft launched previews of Office 2016 for Windows and Skype for Business. But the Skype news didn't end there. Microsoft-owned company today detailed its plans for next year, which is enterprise voice and new meetings. So Skype for Business will offer enterprise voice in 365 with PSTN calling and conferencing. The functionality will first become available as a technical preview in the United States this summer. Office 365 users will begin to able to be leveraging Skype with for all their written, audio, and video conversations. To quote Microsoft, the Office 365 Skype for Business voice and video services are based on intelligent real-time network spanning Microsoft's global data centers to deliver secure, high-quality voice and video traffic at the speed of light across the globe. In other words, Microsoft is looking to enhance its cloud offering with real-time communications. Skype for Business will be available via Office 365 data centers in 37 countries. Cloud plus on-premises hybrid options will let enterprises rely on Microsoft's cloud when they need it without having to give up what they already manage on-premises. So Microsoft has actually partnered with AT&T, BT, Colt, Equinix, Level 3 Communications, Orange Business Services, Tata Communications, Telstra, Verizon, and Vodafone. These companies will help deliver direct connections to Office 365 Skype for Business customers through Azure Express Route for Office 365. And that's the news, Brad.
Great stuff, Jody and Jennifer. Great. It's always fun to hear you guys read the news.
Yeah,
and funny.
Thank you.
And fun. And fun. It's always fun. Let's go to Jacob. Jacob, what about you, mate? What's your view on them stories?
Well, what I was going to say was Windows 10, what they're going to do is cut out the people that have pirated copies, basically.
Okay. Interesting.
That's what.
Well, I know you're a big fan of Windows. Is that correct?
Yes, but there's one feature that Max will not have.
Well, I don't care. I know what it is.
What's that?
You'll be able to...
Nope.
Gaming?
You better play Xbox One games on it.
Game stuff.
Yeah, game stuff, yeah.
You actually be able to use the actual game disc.
What, an Xbox? Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah, pop it in your computer.
Jeez, interesting.
Nice. Cool.
And use the original remote.
Gee, that's all right.
That's really awesome. So basically, you don't even need an Xbox. You can just use your computer.
That may hurt their sales in Xboxes.
Yeah.
Unless if you're using the Xbox for the TV function, for the media functionality.
I think what it is is you're playing from your computer, you're streaming from your computer, your Xbox streaming to the computer.
Yeah, from the Xbox to the computer,
Oh, you pop the CD into, the DVD into your Xbox, and then it picks up, just like, gotcha.
So it's like an NVIDIA Shield tablet thing, when they're streaming from your computer, instead you're streaming from your Xbox.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay, let's go. Jacob, any more comments, mate, you want to mention?
Not right now, Brad.
All right, mate. Good answer. Paul, what about you?
The Windows 10 thing with the whole they're offering for free stuff. It's a good idea, I guess, but I knowing Microsoft, it's going to have some horrible catch with it. There's going to have something that you have to have that basically makes it for free. So I'm guessing at this point it's either have an OEM computer, or you have to have, a certain version of Windows before they'll actually give you it for free or anything like that.
Mm.
I suppose they're slowly loosening their grip on this whole thing, but it's weird for Microsoft to do this type of stuff because basically it's their main stream of income, Windows. So if they start offering it free, they're sort of losing money. whereas Apple can do this because their main focus is hardware.
Apple is great. I love Apple. Just want to say that. Paul, what else do you want to say, mate?
That's pretty much this Netflix God mode. I don't really understand why I would use that.
I wouldn't. I'm going to use it. I don't.
Because I would just. I tend not go to my computer to watch Netflix.
So do you use Netflix every day? How often do you use Netflix?
When I have a chance, I'll look at it, you know, maybe on train or something like that. Mm. I'll have a look at it on the phone or tablet. I rarely will sit down at a TV and look at Netflix. it's sort of very little time I'll have to actually do that. So
yeah,
essentially it's when I'm on the move, I'll actually be looking at Netflix. So.
Okay, cool. Good stuff. Yeah, are you going to be signing up on a Tuesday and check it out, or are you going to get the free trial or?
Well, I already am signed up, so that'll be interesting what happens.
Well, that's not going to work. Will it work?
It launches in Australia. Do they transfer me over to Australia, or do I keep watching US content?
I think you have to sign up for a separate account, I think.
Okay. I don't know how it's going
to
work.
Yeah, I'm not sure. We'll have to wait and see. We'll report back next week on it. Andrew, what about you, mate?
Yeah, there's a few interesting articles in there, Brad.
Mm.
The Netflix stuff, God mode, look, it's probably going to make it easier for desktop users. I mean, I do actually check desktop a lot for what content there is and what I want to watch, but I tend to watch everything on Netflix through the Apple TV once Miles is sort of down for the night and we've had dinner. Mm. Christy and I will usually put it on for an hour or two later in the evening, and it's a fantastic service. Really enjoying it and absolutely love the fact that it's on demand. So we'll work our way through catalogue of shows and then switch to the next one. And we've got shows that we both like and then ones that we individually like. And as Paul touched on with the Windows 10 being for free, some really good points there, Paul, around that, you know, the platform Windows being Microsoft's biggest revenue stream. I do like the fact that they're doing this because it really brings them in line with Apple, who are, you know, giving away their operating system for free. But you know, it's trying to move forward, but I don't see where they get their revenue otherwise. So that'll be a really interesting one, you know, to see how that goes. yeah, a few other things this week, I guess, with the Foxtel IQ3 box. Mm. It's going to be really good to see how that goes and see if they have any issues and so forth. And you know, it's as I said, it's getting really aggressive, the landscape in Australia for streaming.
Mm.
There was an interview I actually shared through Facebook during the week, which was really good, with the founder of Netflix, and he said they've been watching Australia for about 5 years, trying to pick the right time, and all of a sudden you've got Presto, you've got Stan. He said, you know, they couldn't have imagined that when it was time to launch that there'd be such a vibrant marketplace.
Yes.
But he's kind of said it's actually really good because there's going to be 3, 4, 5 companies pushing heavily into the market and marketing. So the consumers are going to get a real sense of what's out there and be able to make a really good choice. Yeah. And it means that for the companies who are actually streaming, it's going to keep them honest. It's going to keep pricing honest. And he was actually really happy with the marketplace that is opening up in Australia. So I mean, my main thing is that from what I've seen online, there's only going to be about 1,500 pieces of content available in Australia. USA for Netflix has about 6,000 pieces of content. So we're only going to get about a quarter of the content, and that's because either they don't think we want some of it or because it's owned elsewhere. It's owned by Foxtel or by Telstra or somebody. And that's challenging. I mean, one thing I watch on Netflix is I watch some of the older shows.
Breaking Bad,
yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Well, not so much. Even older than that. I mean, Christy and I have been watching The Wonder Years. I don't know if you remember that. It's like late 80s, early 90s. Yeah, it's got the whole thing on there. It goes for 20 minutes. Yeah. It's just silly fun, and it's, you know, what we used to watch back in the day. There's nowhere else you could find that.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to have that in Australia, if they think that we watched that back then and whether it's relevant to us. So it'll be interesting.
I'll be happy.
Well, I actually used that exact show as an example.
Andrew, I remember Andrew saying that. Yeah.
Yes. Last week. Really random. But yeah. Hopefully they do that. But it'll be also really interesting to see what they do with their 200,000 subscribers who are using the US version, whether they actually want to switch them across. I mean, they can work it out quite easily by looking at the credit cards of people, whether they switch them across. And if they do switch them across and there's only 25% of the content, there's going to be a branding problem there. But you know, I won't hold up anymore. There's a few good stories this week. I'll let you move on, Brad.
Good stuff. And I just want to say about time for the IQ3 to come out being announced as well. It took a long time and about time for that to come out. So it should be good to come out this week. Jennifer, any views on them stories?
Yeah, I actually am kind of curious about the Skype for Business. I'm wondering if Microsoft is going to move out or phase out Link, Microsoft Link. So if you're not in the enterprise world, and in the enterprise world for Microsoft Office, there's Microsoft Link, and that's what a lot of organizations use. So it's quite interesting to me that Skype for Business is merging in with Office 365, and I'm curious if it's going to eventually phase out Link. So, and then, yeah, I guess that's about it for the stories. I just found that one interesting.
Good stuff. Let's go to Steve. We haven't had from you, Steve, for a while.
Yeah, I do have something to talk about, mainly with Windows 10. Mm. And it could be several reasons they're trying to do this, make Windows 10 free upgrade. Could be adoption rate. Obviously, since Windows 8 came out, it wasn't very popular. A lot of people just stuck with 7. Mm. So it could be a way for everybody to upgrade to the same version, Windows 10. And of course, it may be a way of them saying, you know, for advertising, you know, they saying they get all these people, percentage of people on Windows 10. Could also be maybe perhaps identifying people who are pirating Windows. And even though it may be free for Windows 10, maybe the next version they won't let them upgrade. But we'll see.
All right, interesting. Good answer, Steve. Jody, any views on them stories?
Yeah, I guess, you know, I find the whole thing about Microsoft introducing Windows 10 and making it an upgrade, you know, you kind of have to think about why would they do that, right? I mean, certainly it's competitive now with Apple because Apple's been doing this for a while, but I really do feel that it's a way to ferret out the pirated and non-genuine versions. And it's like you ever get one of those software programs where it has an automatic upgrade, and then you upgrade it, and then it says, "Now you owe us, you know, whatever it is for the upgrade." I kind of think it strikes me to be one of those kinds of plays. But you know, we'll see what happens when it rolls out. So,
all right, good stuff. Jody, have you been checking out Meerkat at all?
I have. It's basically a video that streams directly to Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. What about you, Brad? Are you using?
Yeah, I used it the other day and stuff. And when I went out and stuff, it was pretty cool. And I've been watching some people on there and stuff, and bringing some pretty cool content on there. A lot of famous people on there, Gary Vee and them sort of people.
Well, of
Who's
course,
Gary Vee.
Gary Vee.
Yeah, Gary Vaynerchuk.
He used to drink
really
wine.
Active.
Yeah. He used to do wine. He used to do wine and stuff. You know, wine. He used to do wine.
He founded winelibrary.com when he was younger, and now he is basically he's an entrepreneur who has his fingers in a whole bunch of different tech companies. He was one of the early investors in Airbnb, and he's very New Jersey, down to earth, you know, get up, do another 10 push-ups kind of guy.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Andrew, what about you? Have you been using Meerkat, or what's your opinion on it?
I downloaded it and had a look, and you know, it's a pretty good product. It's video streaming. I guess one of the things that they did well is, you know, they're in the States, which helps.
Yep.
You know, right on the ground in San Francisco, and they've really integrated their product deeply into Twitter, which has been positive, and I think it's helped them get a lot of traction. But then Twitter sort of pulled out in a couple of ways as well, which I think may actually hamper some of their forward development. They are a product which was called Yevo, Yevo, and they've been around as Yevo for a number of years, but just couldn't get traction. And they ended up getting some investment, did an entirely new rebrand, and integrated deeply with Twitter, and they've had some really great success. So I guess the question will be, from my perspective, whether or not people stay with it after the buzz has died down, or whether just fun, cool, remember that product at South by Southwest 2015. I'm kind of hoping they do stay with it, because I really think video streaming is, you know, part of the future. But it'll be interesting to follow and see how they go.
Yeah, exactly. And I've also chatted with some cool people on there as well, you know, from around the world. And it's really fun to chat with them sort of people, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good fun. Jacob, what about you? Have you used Meerkat, or what's your opinion on it?
I've used it, but I haven't used it enough.
Well, Chris Voss was on there the other day, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was, but he was he was doing was unboxing a drone.
Yeah, a drone, yeah. And showing his dogs. His two huskies.
Yeah, one of them, I just booked out because he wasn't doing anything.
Yeah. Okay. What about you, Jennifer? Have you used it?
Yeah, I logged into it, downloaded it when it first came out, and every now and then when I see like Pete Cash, what's his name?
Peter Cashmere. Peter
Cashmere, right?
Cashmere, yeah.
From Mashable was doing something, and Mashable's
beautiful
on there.
Beautiful man.
A lot,
anyone would look at him on video.
He's a beautiful man. You're right. He's very GQ, and so it's fun to see different brands and different things kind of go live with you know, with their data and whatever they're sharing at the moment, and just even some friends. I know even our friend Brian Boer was using it yesterday, and he was doing a lot of meerkats. I have not. I haven't felt that I've had anything all that interesting that all my followers would want to tune in live to see me or to see what I'm looking at, you know, so I haven't had anything exciting to share. So I haven't done it. So I've just been kind of a, you know, an observer, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. All right. What about you, Paul? Have you tried it out, mate?
No, but, Every time I've heard that name of the app, I've always thought of the Meerkat insurance ad here in Australia.
God, true, mate.
If you haven't seen that ad, you probably
true.
Just
look I know.
It up.
Yeah, have a look at it.
But yeah, I haven't actually got around to actually playing it. Sorry, not playing it, looking at it. But yeah, I sure have a look and see what I think of it later, probably next week.
Have a look at it. All right, Paul, so you're on as a guest today, mate. Tell us about what you've been up to, and you're working on a new app.
Pretty much. So basically, I actually wanted to submit it about the Tech Webcast app. I actually wanted to submit it 2 months ago, but I ran into problems with adding iOS 7 support because, I didn't think of actually putting that in because of the adoption rate of iOS with most users is pretty high. But then I saw iOS 8 wasn't really being adopted that quickly.
Yeah.
That may change if the iWatch takes off. Oh, sorry, not the iWatch, the Apple Watch takes off because you have to have 8.2 to actually run the thing.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'm pretty much polishing it up, and hopefully by the end of this weekend, I should have it submitted to Apple, and hopefully it'll be all approved soon.
Sweet. All right, Andrew, what sort of features will be in the app, Paul?
So pretty much, I think the last version you saw was basically it had the download features in it, had the podcast streaming feature, it had you know, the Twitter functionality in there, it had... what else it have? The YouTube, and it's got that. The feature you probably haven't seen yet is the live feature, which actually shows the live stream when it's available. Also, I have to give you your account for Pass, so you could be able to, you know, type in notifications and stuff like that.
Okay.
Do whatever you want to do on a regular basis.
Sweet. How will the live section work? How will the live bit work?
Essentially, you can send out a notification, and people just go and click on the notification, and they'll be able to view the video stream live. So, because your live version is a video stream on, I think Justin, what's it called again?
What's it called, Steve? Did you stream?
Ustream. There you go.
Yeah, Ustream.
So
yeah.
Essentially, they go into the app, and suddenly they're viewing it live on video on their, you know, iOS device.
Okay, sweet. Sounds good.
But yeah, that's essentially what the live version is. Cool. Essentially that when it's streaming, it'll have that ability. Once you put it out a notification, it'll open it and they can view it live.
Cool. Sounds good. Andrew, any questions?
Sorry, I was on mute. Yeah, look, really interested to have a look. Will it also be sort of cross-device so you can use it on an iPad and so forth?
iPad version, it will be compatible to run on an iPad, but I haven't actually optimized it for an iPad yet.
Okay.
But I'm hoping to have that ready in the next update.
Sure. And do you also do the Android development, or are you the Apple guy?
I have been playing with trying to get podcasts to work on an Android device, but it's actually more difficult to do on an Android device than it is on iOS. So I'm still trying to work out how to get podcasting to work on an Android device. It's actually quite hard for me to do. I can do the other stuff, but getting podcasts to work, there's not really a lot to play with in terms of a ready-made SDK that you can just play with. It's just pretty much, here's what you have. You have to create it from scratch, essentially.
Okay.
So that's what I'm playing with at the moment with Android. So hopefully in the near future, I can look at an Android version of it.
Good stuff. Jody, any questions?
I'm sorry, Ruger was barking. Yeah, I'm curious, Paul, how you got involved in developing apps.
Really, it was just a hobby and essentially stuff I did at uni, and then it just developed based on the work I do, and essentially I became a developer in that sense, I guess. I do developments essentially, but a different type of development at work, but it's really the iOS stuff and all the stuff that's mobile related is really just a hobby of mine, just to keep my mind occupied, essentially.
It's good to keep your mind occupied.
Well, yeah.
Well, you know what? I hear you also are an expert on a lot of the Apple products, and I'm curious what your thoughts are about the new watch that's coming up.
Well, I'm a bit underwhelmed by it. Let's put it that way.
Really? How come?
Well, I was expecting more to the table. Like, when I saw the first preview of it, I thought, oh, look, this looks really good. It's well made. And then they go through the list of features. And some of these features, well, I suppose they've been already around for a few years in smartwatches. Like, for instance, the Pebble, the, you know, Android Wear and that type of stuff. But I suppose it depends on what Apple comes up with in terms of how well they make these features work. But the disappointment for me was the battery life, because I kind of want a watch that will last me more than a day. Let's put it that way.
Agreed.
I feel you.
Yeah, so 18 hours is sort of stretching it for me.
Don't you get tired of charging your watch at the end of every day? Because that's what I have to do with both of these watches. I have to charge it at the end of every day, and it just drives me nuts. It's just because sometimes you forget, you know, or you might be on vacation, you forget to bring the watch charger, and so it's
okay. Well, when I'm on vacation, I'll take the Pebble because I know it'll last 7 days.
Oh, the Pebble lasts that long? No kidding. I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's why.
Yeah, my LGG lasts a day. The Gear S lasts a day. It's, you know, so.
Yeah, they're daily watches, essentially.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was looking pretty much at Apple Watch, and then before that, it was Pebble Time, which is the new Pebble watch that's coming out. And that Pebble Time Steel, now they've extended that to a 10-day battery life, which is pretty good.
Nice. Expect that to be shipped out? Did they say approximately when? Who knows when it comes to Kickstarters, but I think Pebble will be a little bit more on schedule than all the other campaigns.
Well, they're saying that Pebble Time, the non-steel one, will be out by May globally. And then Pebble Steel is July, apparently, this year. So they reckon retail stores will have it probably just after July, so about August.
And you signed up to get one, right?
Yeah. That's actually. I'm part of the Kickstarter backers thing. I pretty much saw that. I jumped on it as soon as I saw it because I missed out on the whole backers thing last time. And I ended up getting a Pebble pretty late afterwards. So
Paul, what's your view on the HBO Now and that sort of stuff, the new upcoming to Apple TV and that sort of thing?
I think that's really good because I'm a real Game of Thrones fan. So essentially getting games of Game of Thrones directly to Apple TV is like the best thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that probably won't work. And well, they're not bringing it to Australia because of the Foxtel thing, owning the rights to Game of Thrones in Australia, at least.
I think it's called HBO Now. Sorry, not HBO Go. Jacob just said HBO Go.
Yeah, HBO
Now. Now it's called,
But paying that $14 a month just to get that ability to just have it there, ready, ad-free. I think it's going to be ad-free. I hope it is. Is really brilliant. Because then I don't have to wait for it to pop up on iTunes before I have to download it and that type of stuff. That'll be sweet, pretty much.
Good stuff. And you were awake for the Apple event, weren't you? Because I was awake too. The one just went.
Yeah, I was up at the right old morning of 3 a.m. in the morning.
Yes, that's correct. Yep. Was it worth it? Was it worth it, Paul, or would you rather be asleep?
Well, it got me up in the morning, so it means I didn't have an excuse not to work out that day. So
okay, fair enough.
That was good. So I was happy with that in some respects. But I was more curious about the new MacBook more than I was about.
Oh, yes, they are very nice. Them, I love them.
That'll be interesting.
Are you going to get one? Are you going to buy one?
Well, no, because it doesn't have all the peripherals that I want on it.
Oh, really?
I use Thunderbolt 2, and I was a bit skeptical on the fact that they dropped that, because that's like their main thing, Thunderbolt 2. So
yeah.
And then I looked at the size of it, and I'm going, they probably wouldn't have been able to put one on there.
Yeah, but what's that adapter, though, they put out there for it, though? Isn't there some sort of adapter you can buy for it?
Well, USB-C is actually slower than Thunderbolt 2. So,
oh, okay.
If they had an adapter for it, it would be running at like quarter speed compared to what Thunderbolt 2 can run at.
Interesting. All right, that's good to know, Paul. Anyone else got any questions? Jacob, any questions?
Not right now.
Okay, Steve, what about you, mate? Any questions before we wrap up?
Not really, I don't think.
Did you catch the Apple event, Steve? What's your view on the Apple event?
Couple of things that just like I wasn't really interested in the watch as much, but of course the MacBook I was a little bit, and of course what Paul mentioned, there's no Thunderbolt port on there. They're using this new USB-C, which is I think half the speed of Thunderbolt.
Wow.
and to me, in some ways it doesn't make sense to put Thunderbolt on there, because the processor they're using on it's actually underpowered anyway. So what are you going to do that's going to really need that speed to begin with? And I think it's really geared toward consumers who want ultra portability, are just going to use it for social networking, photos, and things along those lines. And of course, if you need something more powerful, you have the MacBook line, the MacBook Air, and so this version is really made for just the consumer.
Well, Bruce Naylor bought one, Steve.
Who?
Bruce Naylor.
Oh, did he? I didn't know that. Wow.
I think he bought one of the new ones. Yeah, he did an unboxing video the other day. I've seen it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, have a look at it when you get a chance. What about the Apple Watch? Jody, will you be pre-ordering one on April 10? I know I will be.
I believe I will, as long as I have the funds in my account. that's the big issue.
Well, I just say just do it. Andrew, what about you? Will you be pre-ordering the Apple Watch, mate?
Yeah, I think I will, Brad. I think the thing is, as Paul said, some of the Android watches and Pebble are better devices, but the the whole thing is that the Apple Watch connects to your Apple device, you know, and I mean, that's kind of what it comes down to for some people. And it's, you know, people like to keep it in the Apple family. So I kind of get that. I mean, I'll probably order it, but Apple, the thing that frustrates me about Apple is they have the ability to do more, but they just, damn it, don't want to. They got billions of dollars in their back pocket. They couldn't care less how it goes. You know, they could come out and they could give you a watch that lasts for a week. They could give you a watch that's got video, you know, chat built into it. They could do all of these things. But the way that they see it is they're a company that's built on user experience. So they're going to come out with the leanest model to start. They're going to learn about what works, what doesn't work, how to make it better, how to create a great user experience. And then the version 2 and version 3 and version 4, they'll gradually add features once it's running. You know, if you look at a lot of other companies, they all want to get the product out there and get rich. You know, let's get this. So they throw everything they possibly can into it. Yep. And then if something goes wrong, you've got 50 different functions. So you've got this spaghetti mess that you need to work through. Mm-hmm. Whereas Apple have got 4 functions and they work brilliantly and they work perfectly and every time when you switch it on. I guess it's the benefit of being a company based on user experience, not functionality. And it's the benefit of not actually having to make any money out of the product. Just put it out there. You know, Apple TV, they see their Apple TV as fun. You know, that it's a product that's made them billions of dollars, but they just still see it as a fun little project. So,
well, I did hear in June at WWDC they're going to be announcing a new one, apparently, with the new streaming TV and stuff.
Yeah, I've heard that too. You know, and networks behind it and all those sorts of things. Yeah. But yeah, you know, it's a hard one. I like the Apple Watch. I'll probably get it, but is it the best product on the market? Nope.
Well, I'll be call. The first thing I'll be doing when I get mine, I'm going to be calling Jody on it.
There you go.
Yeah. Jacob, what's your view on all this, mate? The Apple Watch.
I wouldn't get one because I wouldn't have a use for one.
Really?
No.
He doesn't have an iPhone.
Does he? Doesn't tell the time. Here's an iPod Touch.
But it won't work on my iPod Touch because the app didn't pop up.
No, I got the app on my phone. You got the app, Paul, on your phone, mate?
Yeah, it pops up on the Australia.
Yeah, I love the app.
Can't get rid of it.
Very nice app. I can't wait to see the app of the App Store. The App Store. Okay, Ruger agrees about the Apple Watch.
Hey, I think Ruger's saying it's time to wrap up. That's what I heard.
Really? Okay, let's wrap up then.
Can I say one thing?
Go ahead, Jacob.
Well, one thing I would love to see from Apple.
Yeah.
You know how they install all these apps to your devices?
Hmm.
Have a switch to switch them off, but not totally
like
delete.
A list, like what you can do on the Apple TV.
Yeah, what? How you could just like you say you want this app, but you don't want this app.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, it's
but it goes right up to the cloud, basically.
Good option to have.
Then whenever you want it back, you just hit that button and it'll re-download it.
Or even if they just go onto the last page, you know, page 6 or something of your apps, and they're inactive apps, and then
or
you can button to bring them back.
Or you, point. Or they can just add an option to delete it and then re-download it again, maybe.
Yeah.
Paul, will you be ordering the Apple Watch, pre-ordering it?
Yes, because I don't intend to line up for it.
Yeah. Sure. Which one are you going to get, mate? Which one are you going to get?
I pretty much had my eye on this, and I've had my heart set pretty much on the stainless steel version. So I'm hoping to get one of those by then.
What's that going to cost you?
probably don't ask me that. Okay, I don't want to see the price.
Okay. Andrew, what about you? Which one will you be getting? The sports one or what?
Yeah, I'll probably just get the sports one, which I think is like $500 or something. Yeah. Mainly because, as I said, they're going to have another version a year after and another version 2 years after, which is why I think selling watches that cost $15,000 is absurd, because when you look at it, it's like $500 a month is what you're paying for the thing, because it'll be obsolete in 2 years from now anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I think, hey, when will they be in the Apple Store? Do you know, Paul?
Do you mean the physical Apple Store?
Yeah.
Yeah, 24th.
Well, is that April, when you 24th. Can try them out and stuff, and then you can buy it on the spot, right? Okay.
That's pretty much the launch date for it.
I think I might just do that. I think I don't think I will pre-order mine. I might just go in the Apple Store and look at there, and then I like it, I'll probably get one. But
yeah, I don't think they'll fly off the shelf.
No, I don't think
they're... Like, you'll have your hardcore fans that will line up for it. Yeah. But I don't think it'll fly off the shelf to the point where you won't see stock at all anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, then let's wrap up. Andrew, what's your final view of the show? Making it get hold of you, man. And...
Yeah, final view is that it's been a fantastic show. Thank you, Paul, for being on and talking to us about Apple and about the Tech Webcast app, which we're really looking forward to. And I believe we have a really great guest on next week as well.
We have two guests, right? Next week. Two guests.
Yeah, two guests next week. So, yes. Yeah, really looking forward to that. It's a show that you're not going to want to miss.
No.
And, yeah, it's been fantastic. So you can get me on Facebook and Twitter as Cunning Drew and on the Zafo and Rewind app.
Good stuff, mate. You can get me on Twitter at Brad Ogden at Tech Webcast. I'm happy about the IQ3 coming out this week. I can't wait to get my hands on it. Jacob, what's your final view?
It's always been a good show, and you could find me at jazzbot326691z.
Good stuff, buddy. Good stuff. Paul, what about you?
Yeah, it was a good show. Definitely good to be back on the show.
So good to have you on.
Yeah, you can catch me on PKTV on YouTube, as well as PKTV application on iTunes and Android.
Good stuff, and thanks for making the app too, by the way, too. Great stuff.
It's all right.
We can't wait.
So, for obviously, apologize for the delay.
No, all good, mate. All good.
Expect issues with iOS 7.
All good. All good.
All good.
How's the new Samsung 4K monitor, by the way, real quick?
It's not bad. Like, for the price I paid for this thing, it is pretty awesome compared to what I was going to expect on it. It was actually very nice. It just works really well.
Well, I still love my Apple Cinema display. I love that.
Oh, yeah, I still have that.
You still got one?
Yeah, this was a secondary monitor that I had my desktop.
Yeah. So. Great setup, by the way.
Oh, cheers.
Very good night. Good monitors. Great setup, Paul. Jody, what about you? What's your final view of the show?
I adore all of you. It was an awesome show. Great guest. Thank you, Paul. And always looking forward to doing the show and catching up with you guys. With regard to where you can find me on Twitter, I am Sunswept. Everywhere else, you can find me at webmarcom.net. And hopefully here on Fridays or Saturdays.
Yeah.
With the gang of Tech Webcast.
Definitely, definitely. So, you should do a meerkat from your live dog show one day, Jody.
Oh, there you go. Maybe I'll do one tomorrow.
That'd be cool.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be cool to watch, yeah.
I'll get something to hold it.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Jennifer, what about you?
Hi, great show, and always a pleasure talking with Paul. I wish you'd be on every week, Paul. You do such a great job.
He does.
thanks, Jody.
And
Jennifer,
yeah,
sorry.
No, it's okay, no worries. And you can find me at jenniferruggiero.com, and I know I keep on saying Get Nerdy With It is coming back, but it really is coming back next week.
Really?
So I've just been swamped with real work, and not that podcasting isn't real work, it's a fun hobby for me, so you know, sometimes the hobbies have to be put on hold while you're doing real work that makes money.
Who's gonna exactly who's gonna be on Jennifer?
That is TBD. TBD. We're working with a couple of different people, so we'll figure out which one will agree to be on the next show. It should be next Saturday.
Okay, sweet. What's TBD? What's that?
Oh, to be determined.
Oh, I never heard of that. What do they do?
Oh, no, no, no.
Oh.
I just mean it's to be determined who the final guest is.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought it was a show.
That would be great. That should be a good name of a show, TBD.
Jeez.
Now, on the upside, you'd never need to actually tell the guest until it's starting.
Yeah.
That is actually quite funny. Steve, what about you?
Oh, it's hard to beat that part. Okay. I enjoyed talking with Paul and his update on the new Tech Webcast app that's going to be coming out, and his thoughts on the Apple Watch and the new MacBook Apple released. Besides that, you can find me on Twitter as chatterbox_live.
Good stuff, Steve. Thank you, everyone, for being on the show. See you next week. Can't wait next week. And Jacob, you lost the game.
Yeah. Sit down, buckle up, and prepare yourselves for a journey into the future.
Tech Luster.
Talking all things tech.
Tech Luster.
Tech Webcast.
Oh, my God.
The hosts and guests are unsurpassed.
Tech Webcast. Cause technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Ha, stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech, 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 tech webcast. Ha, ha. Tech, 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 tech webcast.
Big ups to Andrew, to Brad, Jody, Steve, and Jennifer. Boom!